Jude verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Go back to verse 20 if you would. If this is your first time here since we've been in the book of Jude, or if you've missed any of these, we studied verses 1, 2, and 3 in quite a bit of detail. Jude writes a letter to his fellow believers, and he says, "I was getting ready to write you a long letter about the common salvation." So let me stop right there and tell you, ask you, beg you, don't make salvation hard. The reason that is such a passion with me is that's your pastor. And it's not because I want to make it hard for you. I want to work the Algebra 2 problem and work out all the steps and identify each step, one, and circle the one, two, and circle the two, and fill the page and then get to the bottom and not a circle but a square around my answer, just like Miss Tuck told me to do it 50 years ago in high school, okay? I was not in high school at age 10, okay? It's just me. My dad can look at a job and see the whole thing from beginning to end. And I had to see it step by step. Does anybody know how frustrated that man was raising me? Have you ever seen the meme that says, "You can't offend me. I held a flashlight when my dad was working on the car"? I wrote that meme. Okay, I didn't, but I should have. If I'd have thought of it, I would have, and I'd have made some money off of it if it went viral. Okay, I got to see it step by step, and if you can see the whole thing and just work, you know, just all that, God bless you. That's not me. And salvation, I have to. I am glad the Lord saved me as a child. I realized I was a sinner. The Holy Spirit did His work in my life. I realized Jesus was the only Savior, and I put my trust in Him. Now, just to be clear, when I got older, Cam, I said, "Lord, I didn't know enough at six to make it hard, so now I'm going to help you out, and I'm going to make it hard for me and you both." Okay? And again, my dad, I frustrated him to death with all this period of doubt in my life. It is the common salvation. Don't make it hard. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 6:23. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you are frustrating the grace of God, okay, it is like somebody offering you a gift and you saying, "How much do I owe you?" It's a gift. What can I do? What do I need to do to keep it? When are you going to come back and get it? It's a gift. Right? And Jude said, "I was getting ready to write about the common salvation, and then I heard that false teachers had infiltrated your churches and they were leading you astray. And I had to put that other letter on the shelf, and I had to talk to you about the false teachers." So he devotes verses 1, 2, and 3 to the beloved. That's you that are born again. He ends the book, verses 20 through the end of the chapter, with the beloved. Okay? So that's why I went from verse 3 to verse 20. We're going to drop back after we finish 20 through 25, probably in the year 2025. Say amen right there. Help me, Lord, not to do that to your sheep, okay? Nobody deserves that. We had supper with friends several years ago. They looked across the table. They said, "Pray for us." They said, "We love our preacher and we love our church, but he's in a 7-year series." They said, we love him, we love the Bible, we love church. But they said, 7 years, that's a long time. They said, there's a whole lot of Bible we're not getting. So I'm not going to beat it to death, but so we jump from verse 3 over to verse 20. Let me show you the verbs that I'm looking at. But ye, when I stop, say the next word. But ye, beloved, up yourselves on your most holy faith. Next verb, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Verse 22, and if some have compassion. Verse 23, others save with fear, out of the fire, hating. And then look at verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from. Church, if you'll get 20 through 25 nailed down in your life, you will live a victorious Christian life. Don't make it hard. Don't let me make it hard for you. Don't make it hard. If you'll get those progressive verbs down in your life, I promise you, you'll live a life of victory. I didn't say you wouldn't have trouble. But I did promise you, you'll have a victory without trouble doesn't mean anything. Okay, the basketball teams yesterday that ran all over their opponents, that might have been a little bit fun, but it didn't mean anything to them. That one that had to eke it out with a buzzer beater, they're cherishing that win. Come on. And so I didn't say there wouldn't be troubles in this life, but boy, when you see troubles and then you look back and you go, look what God got me through. That is amazing. So we looked at building. We're now on praying. And I had a 5-point message last Sunday and I got through 1 point. So this morning I'm expecting to get through one of those, and y'all are thinking, and this series is going to last until 2025. Okay, I promise you it is not. Look at verse number 20 again. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, say the word, in the Holy Ghost. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going to say it again because when I meditate and pray about a message, certain things come to my mind that I want to be crystal clear to this church. I said this last week, so I'll be able to say it more briefly today. In this area of the country, I'll say it again, upstate South Carolina, western North Carolina, northeast Georgia, southwest Virginia, and east Tennessee. Okay, we have a rich heritage of churches and pastors and preachers from our... We were in South Texas this week. And you know what they wanted to talk about at the dinner table, Cam? Ralph Sexton, Harold Seitler. Men that are common for most, not everybody these days, but are relatively common names in our circles. God, I don't know why, but one man said it's the mountains. He said it is literally the geographical topography of this area that bred, it was a hard life, right? When they settled on the coast, I know they had some hardships originally, but it wasn't long till they had a pretty good thing going. And some of the same oppression they had in the motherland, they got here. And so a lot of the people who came this direction were seeking God, just like our forefathers who came over and settled in the coastal regions. So some people say it is literally when they got here and it was a hard life. Hardness is good for you. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm not from these parts. I got here as quick as I could. I've got a visa and a passport. Say amen right there. But let me tell you something. My heritage is deep in these. I think I live on a mountain. I need to take you to southern West Virginia where my roots are. So I love what it breeds in people. We all know it also breeds some queer ways. Say amen right there. But we're kind of proud of that. It's part of it, right? I mean, I've had people since I've been a member of the church that say, and I'm going to introduce you to my grandpa, but he's queer. Not the other word. I said, Paw Quar, okay, but we love him. We love him. And preacher, you'll know in about 30 seconds or not whether Paw loves you. So buddy, I walked in there and I told a West Virginia joke. And he said, you're one of mine. But, hours and hours and miles away, those ministries were touched by men born and bred and raised up in the ministry here. When you've got to pray food on the table, that deepens your prayer life. It deepens your walk with God. And so when I say praying in the Holy Ghost, some of us get a remembrance of a good old Church of God preacher in Chattanooga who could, as Preacher Raines would say, could pray a hole in the sky. When I say pray a hole in the sky, nobody thinks somebody stood up and went, "Oh God, who slung the stars into the heavens." His heart may be as pure as the guy over here hacking, but every one of us in here going, I don't know if he knows God or not. If he knew God, he'd be spitting a little bit right now. Praying in the Holy Ghost is not the volume. Praying in the Holy Ghost is not the number of, I don't mind. Pray loud. Get so, in a prayer meeting, get so caught up with God, you don't even know there's anybody else in the room. You will be totally, no. Let me say a word about our heritage. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world. When Miss Penny or who, when somebody went, "Whoa! That didn't bother a soul in here." Oh, it's what you do when you get happy. And I love it. It's not just cultural. It's biblical. But praying in the Holy Ghost does not mean you got worked into a certain level of emotion. And I like a prayer life that touches your emotions. But you can be a broken-hearted mother at an altar whose lips are moving and no sound is coming out. It's coming straight from her heart, and be praying in the Holy Ghost. If I come to see your mother in the ICU, Brother Michael, I don't think you want me hacking. "Oh God, if you'd see fit. If you'd see fit to raise her up one more time, we'd be so very, very grateful." That can be praying in the Holy Ghost. Right? Now don't think for one minute I would ever dampen an enthusiastic response to a holy God. It's all through your Bible, Genesis to Revelation. It actually shows up before Genesis. Job says that when God created the heavens and the earth, that the sons of God shouted for joy. They were up in heaven looking over. They saw what He was doing and they started singing and shouting. They said, "That is amazing right there. We've seen heaven for all these millennia. Look what He's doing out there in the universe." So I want you to understand that. So we looked at Romans chapter 8 and saw the role, Miss Renee, I shared about me and you getting happy in the hospital room, about Romans chapter 8, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost working together in my prayer life. That ought to touch somebody's heart right there. Here's what Romans 8, 25 and 26 says. And we're going there in just a minute. I pray, Miss Danielle, the Holy Ghost takes it to the Son. The Son takes it to the Father. And it gets answered because the Son only asks what's according to the will of the Father. Here's how my preacher used to illustrate this. I've never seen anybody else illustrate it this way, but I love it. He said, we get on our knees and we lift a prayer. We lift a prayer up before God. He said, the Holy Ghost goes, "No, that ain't right. You should have said this," and he plugs it in. And then on its way up, he goes, "No, that's not God's will. Here, put that." And then it gets to the Son, and He polishes it up and takes it to the Father, and your prayer gets answered. So the Bible says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You're not the one groaning in that passage. Now, I've prayed when all I could do was groan and moan. Just heavy, right? The groaning in there is the Holy Spirit. That ought to make somebody real happy. The Holy Spirit does not have to groan. He chooses to groan with us. What a friend we have in Jesus. So real quick, Romans chapter 8, just for 60 seconds, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." Church, verse number 27 is talking about Jesus, our intercessor. "What is the mind of the Spirit? Because He," Jesus maketh intercession for the saints. How? According to the will of God. 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. How many of you know Romans 8:28? Right? You've heard it. Lost people quote it. It is so common. It is so much in a churchy culture, a culture influenced by the church, that lost people know all things work together for good. Here's another. Somebody will disagree with this. And that's fine to disagree. Just don't get mad at me. Here's another one that we think we know and we don't. He won't put on. Don't say amen. Don't say amen. He won't put on you more than you can bear. That is not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. He will put on you more than you can bear. And that's when you get to cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That is a misunderstanding of this verse. There hath no temptation, test, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But He will with the temptation, test, He will with the temptation make a way to escape. The world thinks they've come up with escape rooms. God did that 2,000 years ago. Come on. He will make a way to escape that ye may be able to. I could go around the room and call everybody. I know almost all of your stories, and I love them. How are you still here? The world, the flesh, the devil, and most of your family said, I wouldn't keep living for a God who treated me that way. You escaped. They never escaped. They stayed under that load and the next load and the next load and the next load. So they took another hit, took another drink, had another illicit relationship. It's the same old, same old. It's what the world does. And it didn't work then, and it won't work now. So be careful what you say is in the Bible, because it may not be. So now go with me, and I'll stay here. Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Last week was the persons in prayer. And that is the one who gives it. But then, most importantly, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Meditate on Romans 8, 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29. I promise you it will change your life. One more thing about Romans 8. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. That's a prayer verse. The verses before it are talking about prayer and intercession. And then the verse begins with the word "and." It's a conjunction. It ties back to all these verses on prayer. You are not going to see how all things work together for good if you don't have a prayer life. I can't see it. I'm not making this. I didn't read this illustration in somebody else's book. They'll say, "Preacher, I can't see it." I'll say, "Okay, I get it. You're in a dark place. You're in a hard place. Tell me about your relationship with the Word. No exceptions. They'll go, haven't been doing that lately. The entrance of Thy words giveth light." I'm not being ugly. No wonder you can't see anything. You don't have any light. Well, I don't understand it. If you're born again, there's a new man inside of you who does. Say, "Preacher, explain that." I can't. You can't either. Two people living inside of me? That's not weird. That's not creepy. That means there's an old man. That's that old nature you were born with. And the minute you trusted Christ and turned from sin, a new man moved inside. He loves that Word. He loves the people of God. He loves that. You say, "Well, so-and-so gets on my nerves." You're just listening to the old man. If you'll listen to that new man, you'll love that person as much as Jesus does. I threw y'all a curveball, didn't I? You're like, "You're talking about getting along, and all while you're just talking about problems, and I was getting out my hanky." And now you're telling us that the reason we can't get along is because there's an old man and a new man living inside of you. Romans 8:28 is a prayer verse. If you'll let the Holy Ghost make intercession for you, and if you'll realize that He already is, you'll look at verse 8:28 and go, for the life of me, I can't see how God brought any good out of that. But lo and behold, He done did. Right? Now Hebrews 5, I'm going to show you the same thing about my favorite Bible character, and that would be Jesus. 5:5. So also Christ glorified not Himself. Do I pass that or keep going? I'm going to stop right there. Quit glorifying yourself. Narcissism is epidemic in this culture. It's unbelievable. I'm struggling to figure out all the reasons other than what I read last week, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Problem number one, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Get over yourself. If it wasn't for God, listen to me. I'm not being ugly to anybody with mental limitations. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have had enough sense to get up and get dressed this morning. Second place I worked out after college, up and coming, well-known, aggressive financial institution in Greenville, South Carolina, had a controller. She's next in line for chief financial officer, controller for the whole organization. Left work on a Friday, was involved in a relatively, not minor, but relative, all things considered, compared to some, a relatively minor accident. Hit her head just the right way. They told the family, they hoped and prayed and all that stuff for some time after that. They told her shortly thereafter, Cam, they said for the rest of her life she'll have the mind of a 12-year-old. Now, with all due respect to you 12-year-olds, I love you, but we don't want you to stay there. And we certainly don't want a 35-year-old to go back to 12. It's the mercy of God. We got up this morning, got dressed, and made a safe trip here and got our faculties about us. Get over yourself. Here's what my preacher told me. He said, if you're full of pride, then you ought to take a trip to the Shriner Crippled Children's Hospital in Greenville and just walk up and down those halls for 30 minutes. He said, that'll get the pride out of you, make you fall on your face before God and thank Him for your health and your strength and the breath in your lungs. You ever met anybody gasping for breath? My mama's brother, I went to see him in Charleston when I was working down there one time. 65 years old, a man's man, back when we had men in this country. A man's man. Career Air Force, sitting there in his recliner, frail, big old oxygen machine beside him going, how's your mama? My sister. Every time I take a deep breath, Brother Billy, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I say, thank you, God. So lovers of their own selves. So go back to Hebrews 5. Go back to Hebrews 5. Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but He, God, that said unto Him, Jesus, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And He said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God did all the bragging, not Jesus. God, in whom is no sin, bragged and on His Son, and rightly so. Look at 3:7. Get it? Who in the days of His, when He had offered up and supplications with strong crying and tears. David King, who am I talking about? Jesus. And what's He doing? Prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. You've never shed a tear that Jesus could not relate to. unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he who? Say it, Jared. Is he right? I'm not insulting you. We don't want to say it, do we? Preacher Rains, I don't believe we want to say it. That doesn't mean he was less than sinless. It would be an entire message, if not more than one, to preach this verse. Please understand what I just read. That was not Calvary. Listen to me, church. Get this. Miss Tracy, that was not Calvary. That was the garden of Gethsemane. Hours before the cross, when his sweat became as great drops of... Do you know what he feared? I'm on holy ground. Do you know what he feared? That Satan was going to kill him in the garden. He was begging God, let me get to the cross. That's why I came. Don't let him kill me here. That's what's going on, Doug. I'm not smart. I read, I study, I pray, I read after good men. Jesus said his entire ministry, we only have 3.5 years of it recorded. Certainly he talked before those 3.5 years, but all we know is the 3.5 years. And he said, to this end I came. I came to go to the cross. My time has not yet come. He never prayed to get out of the cross. He prayed to get there. And so in Hebrews chapter 5, when he feared, they're not leading me to a cross today. I still have fears. If you've got children and grandchildren, you have fears. If you have anybody, one or more, anybody in your life that you love and care for, in this crazy world we live in, you have fears. What do you do with them? Do you let them overwhelm you and cripple you? No, you do what Harold did. I said, what do you do with them? He pointed up. You take them to God. You go before the intercessor and you say, you feared. Would you please help me with mine? So look at Hebrews 5. I'm not going to do justice to it, but I've got to give it to you. I want you to leave this morning thinking about the purpose of prayer. Look at verse number 7 again. While in the days of his flesh, when he offered. Church, is an offering a good thing? Right? It's a beautiful word. He didn't say gave. So when you hear the word offer, you think of an offering. What did he offer? Prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Please don't be uncomfortable with me saying Miss Kim's name. She's told me, preacher, anything I've ever been through that'll help somebody, say it. We're that close. Has there been any strong crying and tears this week? Do you know what God saw that as? An offering. That's the Bible, Rudy. That was an offering to God. I'm going to show you why in a minute. At least one reason. There's many more. This ain't a feel-good message. I'm not making this up. Oh, my tears have a... No. Gary, I'm giving you Bible. Strong crying in the last year and a half? It was an offering. God never said, oh, here he comes again. God went, oh, they're taking up the offering. us men don't like to admit it. Cried in the last 3.5 months. It's an offering. As far as that's what my Bible says. Some of you new folks don't know this. Was it 10 days, sister, your mom and your daddy? Her mom and her daddy died 21 days apart. My mom and daddy are sitting in church with me today. Her mom and daddy love Jesus as much. I wouldn't insult my parents for nothing. They love Jesus as much or more than mine. Dad loved her daddy. He knew him. My wife's mom and daddy are sitting with her. She buried hers 21 days apart. I'll just tell you what the world says about that. You want to know what the world says about that? That ain't fair. That's what the world says. Right? There's a drunk in that town who's still living. Who doesn't take care of his family. Her preaching daddy died. Probably cried a little. God saw that as an offering. And all these verses are about prayer. All these verses are about prayer. So number one is the offering. Number two, don't miss this part, the breaking. Circle the words crying, tears, and fear. Crying, tears, and fear. If you've cried this week, say amen. Did anybody notice you weren't the only one? Anybody had any fear this week? Anybody notice you weren't the only one? So number two, Matthew, is the breaking. I got to ask you, who are we talking about in this passage? Who is the main character? Jesus. Breaking? Tears? Fear? Yes. Jesus. In all points, tempted. The definition there, tempted, used two ways in your Bible. Not correct in your Bible. Tempted, used two ways in your Bible. The use here is test. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You've never sat on an altar. You've never sat in your chair. You've never fallen on your knees and lifted up something before God that He could not relate to. Tested, tempted, in all points like as you are, yet without sin. We sing the song. We can't take credit for it. Brother Mark Wheeler wrote it under the, as close to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as you'll ever get this side. When I fail the test again, He passed. He passed. And the teacher, God, wrote His score on your test. It's Bible. Tears and fear. The breaking. Lastly, beyond. Some of you this morning can't see beyond the tears and the fear. It's been your lot for so long, you think that's what it'll always be. But I promise you, on the authority of God's Word, there will be a beyond. The vast majority of the time, here. If not here, there. Miss Amy, did you bring the Gazaways in? No, there. Sorry, you came in so quietly. Please, no. All the jokes about sermon illustrations and all that are really jokes. I don't use anybody who I don't have permission to do so. Nobody in this room really thinks Brother Gazaway will walk in here next Sunday, the picture of health, and stride confidently to his pew. Right? I think everybody in this room, Brother Van, believes God could. You'll never convince me He couldn't. If He can raise dead people, He can handle walkers. Right? That's probably not going to happen. That's probably His lot until Jesus comes. But there is grace for whatever God has allowed to come my way. And if I have to push a walker from now till Jesus comes, I'm going to do what he did and is doing and she's doing. Every time I can be here to tell everybody how good God's been, I'm going to find myself in the house of God telling these young people, live for Jesus. So beyond maybe here, beyond maybe there, but I promise you, Miss Sandra, you will get beyond these heartaches and tears and fears. I'm telling you that on the authority of God's Word. Let me illustrate it. Look at these words. Look at eight. He learned. What did he learn? Now, Andrew, I hope, and I believe I know this church well enough to know that for me to say Jesus learned obedience, I hope that troubled somebody. I hope somebody went, ooh, I don't like the way that sounds. You know what learned means? Experienced. In heaven, to use our vernacular, God and Jesus were on the same page. When Jesus wrapped himself in flesh and came down here, he had to experience some things. Right? God ever told you to do anything that was hard? Jesus experienced obedience by the things that he suffered. So you know what you need to do if God's putting something on you that's hard? You want to know? This is deep. You want to write this down. You ready? Tell him it's hard. Really? We're allowed to do that? David did. A friend of mine moved from one city to another, a couple hour and a half apart, got into a Bible-believing church. His pastor's wife back over here at Church A was dying with cancer, 40 years old. He went to this pastor. He didn't want to bother this pastor. He was there for him, but he didn't want to burden him. So he went to this pastor. He said, "Preacher, this stinks. If there was ever a model pastor's wife, it was her. She had it going. She was amazing. 40? Preacher, that..." And you know what his pastor said? He said, "Tell God, David did." When David didn't understand it, when David didn't like it. Now, here's what one wise man, much wiser, very wise. Here's what man, he said, "It's okay to argue with God. Just make sure you don't win." I'm not talking about irreverence. No. No irreverence. Talk to him. Ask your questions. Tell him when it hurts. Tell him you're struggling with this experience of suffering for the purpose of learning obedience. He learned. That's the word I want you to remember is learned. Two more and I'm done. Look at 9. When I stop, say the word being made. Church, that doesn't mean he was imperfect. You know what perfect means in the Bible? Somebody tell me. Complete. Complete. Oh, Brother Rains, I'm still struggling with that. How can you say that? No. What was incomplete was where we were in that learning obedience. What was incomplete was those lessons in suffering. Came down here. I'm saying it again. I illustrated 3 times a message here lately. Wrapped himself in flesh. Had to learn obedience by the things that he suffered. And then he was made perfect. It's Renee, he hurt. Brokenhearted. Mind in a whirlwind. Jesus has been there. All points means all points. All points. Learned, perfect, and then look what came out of it. Look at verse 9. Being made perfect, he became the of eternal salvation. When? After he became perfect. He was never imperfect. His learning was incomplete. There were things he had to experience as a man to be able to relate to men, to be able to save mankind, men and women, children. Are you with me? Hebrews 5:5-9, all link to prayer. Somebody probably thought, how are those prayer verses? Where did we begin in verses 5, 6, and 7? Him pouring his heart out to God. Where did all that perfection, where did all that learning, where did all that suffering, where did all that completing, perfecting take place? In a man, in the garden, pouring his heart out to God. When you talk to God from your heart, there is more going on than you will ever realize. I could give you a dozen just like that. I'm going to give you one. Why does your prayer count as an offering to God? You came to Him. I have permission to use this. Our son and his wife asked us years ago. If they asked us today, I wouldn't be ashamed of it, because every home needs help. Years ago, they called me and their mama, her mama and her daddy, and said, "Would y'all sit down with us? Our marriage needs help." Do you know what I said? Hallelujah. I said, "God, I want to thank you that when they needed help, they asked for it. I want to thank you that when they needed help for a marriage, they came to two sets of parents who have imperfect marriages." If you've been through marriage hurt, you understand what I'm trying to say. I was thrilled that they came to us. And when you get on your face, and God helped them, when you get on your face before God, He is not going, "You again." He is going, "I was ready. I was waiting." I speak as a man. He's going, "What took you so long? Somebody help me right there. Why'd you wait?" Hebrews 5:5-9 is all about prayer. There's more going on when you talk to God than you'll ever know until you get to the other side.